three songs.
Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, listeners. This is your host, Reverend Reuben Dockery. Thank you for tuning in to Talk Straight on Blog Talk Radio. Here, you can share your thoughts as well as become informed about very important social issues confronting society today. Please take the time to visit my website at bfcinstitute.com. That's bfcinstitute.com to learn more about our efforts to educate, inspire, and empower disadvantaged families across America to improve the quality of life. The best way to stay in the loop of future broadcasts, times and locations for our traveling educational lecture series, and innovative ideas is to become a BFC Institute seminar participant. You may do so by clicking the Join Our Group tab on the home page. I would be delighted to respond to your suggestions and engage you further in most transformative information. Again, thank you for joining us, and I look forward to hearing from you online.
Welcome to Talk Straight. My name is Minister Ricky Waller, and I'm here on behalf of Pastor Dockery. In his absence, we trust that everything is going well with him in his travel. And also, we want to thank you who are tuned in right now, and we just want to let you know how grateful we are to be able to have this dialogue with you. If you have questions and comments, you can call in. We would trust that you will. The number to call is 657-383-0944. And with that, we just wanted to say again, thank you and welcome. We know the time has come that we have to deal with a lot of issues in life. And one of the things that I was dealing with on this day is to recognize and to recall on how wonderful it would be to find out what our gifts are. So we want to ask you this question on this day. Do you know what your gifts are? Or if you have one, or if you have multiple gifts, we want to ask you, what do you think about your gift? And I would start by giving you a scripture according to the book of 2 Timothy, chapter 1. In verse number 6, where it says, "Wherefore I put thee in remembrance, that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee, by the putting on of the hand." And I know that when you have the gift that comes from God and don't realize it is one thing, but when you have the gift from God and you do realize it, what are you doing with your gift? What I would be the first to say as a witness, I personally can say that God gave me a gift. At some point in my life, I was stripped from it without even realizing that God gave me that gift. So we just want you to take time out to, again, to call in, and if you recognize what your gift happens to be, we would like to hear from you. So again, I'm going to share a little bit about my gift that I found out later on was a gift from God. When you don't know God and you don't know anything about the gift that you have that comes from God, it is hard to recognize it. And so I would be the first to say that God didn't blame me for that, didn't charge me with it, as if I intentionally just mistreated, misused, and abused my gift. for those that know me, know, of course, Pastor Doc would be my witness in this area, but he know I care a lot about a basketball. And as a little boy playing with the basketball growing up, never looked at it as it was a gift. I just looked at it as if I just liked playing with the basketball. And it became a big part of my life. And there's others. But just so happened, we just want to be encouraged one to another to let you know that we have gifts and it's time for us to stir them up. If you don't mind me utilizing the next verse according to 2 Timothy chapter 1 in verse number 7, it says, "For God had not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." So if we have the power to utilize the gift that God gave us, then it's up to us to apply it in our lives. So call in. Let's talk. I want to hear what you have to say. And we believe that with you being able to do that, it would make a big difference in what we would talk about on this particular broadcast. It is a wonderful opportunity because I'm sure I'm believing, I'm just in advance speaking and saying that I know you have gifts. And if that happens to be you and you desire to call in, why don't you do so? We would be truly grateful to hear from you.
Pastor Waller.
Yes.
We have a caller. Caller, last four digits, 1098.
All right. Welcome, caller.
Welcome, hey, how you doing?
God bless. All right. How you doing? Yes, sir.
I'm doing
how
good.
You doing,
I'm okay. I'm okay. Yeah, I was just listening to talking about gifts and things of that nature. You know, when you made a statement, I was sitting thinking, I said, well, gifts. What type of gifts do I have? Well, my biggest gift I have is being free. What I mean by that is staying away from criminal activity and things in that nature. That's one of the gifts. I also have a gift of teaching, listening, helping. I have a lot of them. have a lot of gifts.
I'm so glad to say that. Keep on with that. I like to stay right there with that. And that's why I said, for those who have a gift or multiple of gifts, that that's what you're doing now, sharing it with us. I like that. So just continue.
Yeah.
And what do you think about those gifts that you have, and you know how you express that about the gift of being free, a gift that you don't have to do the criminal things that you once upon a time were doing, man. Just to know you have a gift, acknowledge gift. That in itself is powerful. You know, a gift to acknowledge of not doing the things that you once upon a time was doing. Don't you know that should help a lot of people right there? You know what I mean? Just knowing that that can become a gift that you didn't know you had until you found out, you know. And because you have been in, according to what I'm hearing you say, you have, and when you shared it with the viewers, you have been in the criminal activities before. You recognize the gift. I talked about me having a basketball gift and was stripped from it for a while and because I didn't know. What do you say about that? You know, now that you know that you got a gift in that area of being able to not go back to the criminal activities, man, that's deep. That's deep. And powerful revelation there. Talk to us about what that actually insists of, knowing that you have that gift now, but you didn't have it. So talk about the time when you didn't have it. Get the views.
Right, well, you know, the only reason that I received that gift and these gifts is because, you know, I prayed honestly to God, you know.
All right.
And, you know, I stated, you know, to him, you take over, you know. When I'm going wrong, if my mind begin to deceive me, you know, you take over. you know, pulled goodness. Me out. And it's been a success. Let me tell you something. There was a time. Here I am, a grown man, 20 years old.
Uh-huh.
If you had asked me what 7 times 8 was, you know what?
What's that?
I wouldn't even be able to tell you.
Go ahead, you know? Brother.
But once I turned myself over to God, you know, I mean, everything just opened up. And I tell people continuously, you know, it is not my doing, you know, it's God in me, you know.
Yeah.
Along with
Bless
Christ,
God. Yeah.
You know, that's got a hold of this. A lot of people take it for granted. A lot of people don't go and pray honestly, you know, and, you know, accept that, you know, help. But I did realize that if I made one step, Christ gonna be there. Take it on
yes,
through.
Sir.
You know, take it
yes.
through. You know, like I yes. said, you know, we all have a lot of gifts. If we just go to God, you know, and let him open it up, you know.
Yeah, good.
I remember the last time I was in prison. Oh, young mm-hmm. guy told me, he said, okay. He said, I was afraid to talk to you. I said, why were you afraid to talk to me? He's because, you know, you're just real intelligent. I said, well, you know, I'm the one that you need to talk to.
Yeah.
Also, you know, I put him on the right track, came in prison, you know, without education and stuff like that. You know, I tutored him. You know, he got his GED. He moved on, you know. That was a gift. You know, who would have ever thought that I would walk that line up to my through education, went through college and everything. You know, there was a time that no one would ever thought that I would have done anything like that because the track that I was on. I was on that, what they call that narrow path.
Yeah. Yes, man.
You know, but I'm blessed, you know.
Yeah, that's truly good to hear. And then you got to be blessed, man, to be able to recognize the importance of your gift. And when you was in prison, and that's the thing that I want the viewers to know and to hear, you know, that when you said that you had the gift of being able to not go back into the criminal activities, something that I think a lot of people can learn from that and could find out at this point that that's a gift. You know, and there's nothing wrong with having that gift to be able to do that, man.
Right.
And it's because there's so many things that can cause a person to become entrapped, even after having a gift that God gave them, you know, an innocent gift that you really actually care and love a lot, and then it's just a big part of you, and suddenly you end up in prison. And so now you was able to go in and teach, you know, help brothers in there, and man, it's amazing the difference between. I want to talk, if you don't mind, about the difference between what the gift happens to be from a person giving you a present that's wrapped up. You know, that's a form of a gift, but that gift is unlike the gift that God gives you. You know, that you can't wrap
right.
that gift, you see, and that's what you're saying. You're saying that. You have something now that makes you be grateful when you say you're getting ready to head over into a location that you are familiar with. You say, God, you take over. You have
right,
to be.
You know, and
you remind me, Outkast, when I take that ball and I be spinning it on my finger and I have it going.
Right.
And it's just going, man. I'm going, doing all kind of things with it. And at some point, it's getting ready to go off track. And then you're asking for help to make sure
right.
that you stay the course, man. That's a beautiful gift to have, you see.
Right. I mean,
and
even yourself,
you
know, I mean, even
yes.
yourself with what you've been through with drugs and things of that nature, you went to God.
Right.
God gave you
yes.
The gift of not
man.
Going back out into the drug activity and things of that nature. That was a gift, and it's still a
that
gift.
Is, that
know?
Is, man. That's
and,
a beautiful gift, too, man.
The gift
man,
that I received, I appreciate and I use them, and I use them wisely. But I realize that if I had not went to God and prayed, I could have been dead or in prison for the rest of my life. You know, that's nowhere to be. You know, I wouldn't have been able to help my children, help others, moving them along. But my thing was always this, you know, when it came to my children, nieces, nephews, or whatever, I tell them, look, do better than me. Go further than I. You know, I got two nephews. I used to talk to them all the time, you know, when they was younger. Plus, you know, I used to tutor them and stuff like that. And guess what? They got master's degrees, engineering, and everything. I mean, hey, they did it. Hey, I told them, beat me. Do better than me.
Man.
Go bother.
Goodness, man. And it sounded like it worked. It sounded like it worked to me, you know, from hearing you say that, brother. Yeah. How did it make you feel?
You know, I was in the conversation, listening to Pastor Wallace. I was at work Monday. I was at work. And they had me doing a little special activity, which I had to have the pallet jack. So it was three guys and two girls. They were going on break. And you know that when they're in that little crowd like that, you know, they're fueled up, you know, they're feeding off one another. So I was pulling the jack and I happened to turn around and the young guy, he deliberately stepped on the jack, but I act like I didn't see him. And he walked past me, telling another dude, man, stepping on that jack, you know better than that. I said, okay. So you know what? Yesterday we were getting ready to clock out. Now listen, yesterday we were getting ready to clock out. I walked right over to him, jump, you know, like shutting his eyes. I said, oh, okay. All right.
And you walked right over to him.
My next step is to have a conversation with him. Pardon me?
Right. Yeah. Okay, you say you walked right over to him. And what did he do?
He kind of jumped, you know, and closed his eyes like I won't say something to him. It's not time for me to say anything to him yet,
right.
But sooner or later, you know. But now when he wasn't around, he wasn't around his little crowd.
Sure, sure. I see what you're saying.
You know, sooner or later, I get in a conversation with him, and I see where he is, you know. And, you know, but... I was listening to you talking about that incident where the pistol player or whatever was going to come into play, and God told, well, it'd be out of my hands. Well, my point is still this. Cows and coyotes run in packs. Reverend Waller, they get out of here. They get this, get themselves involved in these little gangs, all of them trying to be gangsters and things of that nature. Incident just happened out there in Upper Mill. Okay, all of a sudden, now you don't want no more trouble. You want to lay your guns down, but no, you're going to go to penitentiary.
Right.
You know?
Oh, man.
It was a group then. You know, that came to mind when the guy stepped on my jack, stepped on the jack when I was pulling it. You know, okay.
Yeah.
You know, if I was the type of person I was many, many years ago, I stepped to him. I said, no, don't be trying to put it on him. I saw you step on my jack, you know?
Yeah, the difference you would have been.
And I wouldn't have cared about a work environment. It would have been a big blowout, you know?
Sure, sure, without a doubt. I mean, your mindset was different. You know, you would have to react different. You wouldn't even thought about the job or anything else, you know, because of once upon a time, you wasn't walking in the gift that you're walking in now, and I like that. I like that, you know, you thought about it, you thought it through, and that moment of thinking it through caused you to exercise your gift. That's the most beautiful thing about it.
And then I'm sorry.
Go ahead. No, go ahead. I'm just talking about go ahead.
But this young guy, he looked to be, he in his 20s, probably early 20s, and I know he was a kid also, you know, but.
Yeah.
I don't know, like I stated, I'm going to get a chance to sit down and talk to him, which I'm going to start the conversation, I said, just to see what, you know.
I think it's going to be good myself because of what you was able to do. And, you know, when you talk about God and God helping you to get through a situation like that, I mean, I think the conversation is going to be great. You would like to just be able to think it over as you're doing now and say, I'm going to start the conversation, and that to me is part of the gift and recognizing it and how to go about it. And you know, because some of those young brothers at the age of 20 right now that have gifts and just not aware of what being stripped from it could cause. And it could cause a person to not get a chance to exercise it at the early stage. And, you know, thank God for change. You know, it's a beautiful thing. As I say, I look at the beauty of change when I think about the gift, because I had no clue that I was fascinated, not to the point where I'm putting it before God now, because it was a God who brought that gift back to me from being stripped from it. But, man, that basketball was my friend, man. I mean, we had a thing going on, brother, and I was stripped from it, you see. Then in the latter part of my life, he brought it back to me, and I just thank God for what you're saying. It made a lot of sense. You know, I had the gift from the beginning. It was a gift, and it was given to me, but I had no knowledge of that. I'm looking at it as a gift. You know, we are in God's plan, and next thing I know, I'm with the kids and everything. And I'll make one particular point that make me more aware of it today, that it's a gift. Outcast, we was playing ball. I'm going to let you get back to what you were saying. As a kid growing up, we was dressing out at the community center, getting ready to go play a ball game. All of us changing into our uniform. And what I was able to do, we had a ball in there, so I took a ball and went over there, because the game is not over that's being played, because we're going to play next. And so I just went over and started spinning the ball by myself in my own little world. Wasn't trying to let nobody see it or anything. And the other guys were still there, you know, dressing out and everything. And one of the guys came over there and asked me, he said, man, he said, won't you, when we get ready to run out on the court, won't you spin the ball in your finger while we're running out? I said, no, I'm not going to do that. You know, we little bitty boys then. And just the thought of him saying that, I was in my own little world, but I wasn't ready to run out there on no court spinning the ball as if I could do that, you know, and it's just the thought, and I had the gift then, but I didn't know it. And I end up running out there with it, but it's just that I still didn't have no knowledge that it was a gift, man. And, you know, so I'm liking what you're saying about recognizing that when you give it to God, you give your life to God, God will bring back in remembrance your gift. That's what the Word of God is, you know. Yeah, what do you think about that, man? You know, so many young brothers today that probably have gifts, I would like to believe that they do, but yet still don't know that the enemy wants to do whatever he can to strip them from their gifts, man.
Exactly.
And
you know,
what do you think about that?
Hey, everything you stated is true, you know, but at the end of the day or the beginning, one have to, you know, keep God in mind, you know, because, you know, you can easily go off path, you know, but if you're really serious about not going off path, God is not going to let you go off path. You know, you'll always stay on path, but you know, that was, you know, I thought about that, you know, little young guy. You know, like I said, we were getting ready to punt. You know, we were here about clocking out. And so
right,
it happened.
Okay.
I was going to go behind him, which I did. But when I walked towards him, he looked and kind of flinched, you know. I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
And
it was kind of in a
downward manner, you know, like, okay, your friend's not around now, so. You know.
Right, I see. Did that make you at that point exercise your gift even more, though? Because, you know, what I'm hearing right now is you say keeping God first. Let me use that for a second, the word keep.
Right.
And then you say God first. And so when you keep God first in any situation, according to walking in his will now, he would help you in a situation even like that, man. That was awesome.
The conversation is coming next. You know, I'm going to talk to him, and then I know I'm going to see him with his little buddies and the two females, which, man, Reverend Wallace.
Yes, sir.
Females or something else, too. you know.
Right.
Which basically what they do, and what he was doing, basically were trying to impress the females, you know.
Man,
and a lot of females, you know, they cater to that. They go for that, you know what I'm saying? They like a kind of a bad boy image, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that can spark a fire right there, brother. That can spark a fire right quick. Just thought of that, man, you know. Impressing someone in an unrighteous manner, you see, and there's nothing positive with it or anything like that, that could, you know, bring forth a spark that could be so, you know, I'm just glad that you was handling it like you was able to handle it. But, you know, I was looking at 2 Timothy chapter 1. I was looking at this particular verse, verse 5, when it says, when I called to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwell first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. In other words, that's a genuine form of faith, even in them kids at that age, man, somewhere deep underneath them. And once you get a chance to talk with them, man, I think that's going to be so outstanding, brother. You know, and he was probably, as you say, by this girl being there, it could have easily going on into something that it didn't, man. And so I praise God for that. And keep
right. You know, but through it all, you know, I just had to shake my head. Though I said, man, I said, kids, you know?
Yes,
but, you know, I'm going to get in a conversation with him. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's good. Did you see yourself at 10?
Yeah, I'm
going to
be waiting. 22, 23, all of them in their 20s, you know, young kids.
Yeah, okay.
But, as stated, I'm sorry.
Yeah, my question to you on that situation, I said, could you see yourself being 20 and 23 at that point? Did you have a chance to look at that at all, or maybe in your conversation that's upcoming?
Well,
when I was 20, huh?
Yeah, I was in penitentiary. I was already in the penitentiary. They locked me up when I was 20. I didn't get out until I was 26. I was already in the penitentiary.
Now you can help him.
I was already there.
Hey, I guess the thing that you was doing at that age, you probably can really get a chance to help him a lot in your conversation that's upcoming, is what I'm saying. And that's why I think that would be an outstanding thing to, you know, you don't know how much you're going to help this brother, man. We're going to believe God that this is going to be a great opportunity for a young brother to realize that wisdom is getting ready to talk to him. And, you know, you are a teacher at what you do. And, you know, you just, you know, from this point on until that day, that you get a chance to do that, man, we're going to believe that it's going to be an outstanding testimony that's going to come back from that. Oh, man, awesome, brother.
Yeah, you know, because my intention is to change his mindset and put him on another path anyway. You know, I'm about ready to retire around about 5 years or a month, so, you know, man, hey, get out of here. You know, going on to college, you know, this is you know where I'm coming from. You know what I'll be talking to him about. You know, look, I knew I was going to get that opportunity now. Now, listen to me, Pastor Walker. I knew I was going to get that opportunity. You know, hey, I'm just patient.
That's what I'm talking about.
He's coming on in. Huh?
Yeah, I can see it happening, man. That's the thing that I'm getting out of this here is knowing the difference between the gifts, you know, once upon a time. You know, that was in you all day long, but you didn't get a chance to exercise until you had gone to prison, went in there and started teaching and helping people, and then got out of here. And now your gift is you want to make sure that you don't be stripped from knowing anything and everything that you're faced with would not cause you to fall off your own steadfast and cause you to go back to the criminal-minded way of doing things. We're at the top of the hour. You ready to one of these songs right here at the first 30 minutes, and just give us a moment before we come back with you being able to finish what you're saying, Outkast, let us get a chance to listen to the song, man, and meditate on the thought, the gifts that you have. And for those of you that tuned in, we ask you to call in and talk to us about the gifts that you have just as well. If you have any questions or comments concerning what we're talking about, you're welcome to call 657-383-0944. Until then, we will be expecting you to call after this song.
Feel your Holy Spirit one more time. I'm gonna start it for you. Come here, Teddy. I'm gonna start this for you.
Hey, they call me Pook. I'm from the streets. Somehow, I live to see my 18th birthday. I managed to graduate from juvenile detention to adult prison. People try to tell me I should grow up being a man. But I'm the best man I know. Somebody asked where I see myself 10 years. Man, I'm just trying to survive these streets day by day.
BFC Institute needs your help to reach the Pookies across America. Please support our traveling educational lecture series addressing perceived threats to African American males. To learn more, please visit us at bfcinstitute.com. That is bfcinstitute.com. Simply click the red sticker for details.
Man, man, we are listening to Talk Straight, and I was just thinking about this outcast, man. You know, that young brother was talking about just then, he was talking about that he was just trying to survive these streets from day to day, man. And that, to me, brought forth a compassion because of the community that I'm in right now and the young people that's out there right now as we speak that I'm sure have gifts and don't even know it, man. And how you be able to get the gifts into their hands is just like what you're about to do with this young man, man. I just know that that's an outstanding opportunity to realize that until we can stir up the gifts that's in our communities, we would be watching the same old effect that we passed down, you know, which is the street mentality and trying to survive. And we thank God for those that escaped. Now, we really, really, really appreciate that, you know. But right. We would love to have more. Wouldn't you believe that it's a good thing to want to like to see more young brothers walk in their gifts? And then you get ready to meet an opportunity, man, on your job. My goodness, yeah. Brother. Out of all places. You know, that can strip a situation into a dangerous situation, man, that could have occurred, and it did not come to pass, man. That's a praise right there to God, you know. For the God that you serve, man, that the God that guides you, the God that you listen to, that voice that tells you that this situation is not going to send you back, man. That's outstanding. Talk to us about that, about the young people, man.
Yeah, you know, I mean, true, you know, there are a lot of young people out here, you know, that are screaming for help and want help. And when I think about them, you know, they lose sight of all the help that's around them because they are blinded, trapped up into doing what they're doing, so they can't reach out into society and take a hold to things that they can receive all type of help. And I still wrestle. No, I don't wrestle with it. I do understand. Some of them just don't want to. Some of them, the professor was saying, and I think he was saying, some of them are afraid to. I know when it comes to teaching and things of that nature, a lot of guys reject it because they are ashamed of the educational level that they're on. Some people are just lazy.
Right. And that's understandable,
you know,
to be ashamed, you know, and to not be aware that one is willing to teach you and you're just ashamed and you don't want nobody to recognize that you can't, as you say, when you was talking about seven times eight, you know what I mean? I'm sure you was ashamed at that time not knowing that. And now, you know, that things have changed. So you can kind of relate to the people, the young brothers out in the street and sisters that are ashamed of where they are concerning the educational arena. But thank God for people who are willing to even just get that one, because it's always good to know that maybe there's a crowd that would have an opportunity to learn, but if the crowd is not there, what about that one? You know, like what you're getting ready to deal with. You know, what about just that one? Would you neglect the one because you don't have the multitudes of them at one time? You know, so I'm more excited. I'm more excited about the one to get ready to talk about, man. I'm so in advance excited about the one talking about, because I know that's a great starting point, man. You never know what he may go tell his friends, man. He had that with you. You know what I mean? So we have to keep that in. Go ahead. Okay, go ahead.
You know, it was nothing else that happened. This female, you know, they didn't put her money on her cards, you know, which on a lot of these jobs now, you know, they had these little cards and stuff like that that you can get. And her money wasn't on her card that morning. And, I mean, she was in rage, you know. You know, cursing and every doggone thing else, you know. And, you know, she was talking to me. If they don't have my money about 11 o'clock or 11:30, I'm walking out of here. Now, she got two children. I said, no. I said, don't do that. I said, look. I said, you have two children, you know. I said, they owe you money. They're going to give you your money. I'm walking out. I said, look. Again, I stress the fact that you had children, plus, you know, her husband worked and things of that nature.
Mm-hmm.
It was ironic. The same thing that I told her, her husband told her the same thing. No, don't you leave. I get paid today anyway. I take care of those bills, you know. But, you know, it's that fit of rage, you know, that fit of anger, you know. A lot of people, you know, they don't want I just hold right there, and I'll let you comment.
I think that's outstanding. You know, you still put forth effort to let it be known. You didn't just allow, you know, her to just do something that would have been detrimental not only to herself, to her kids and her husband, and just the overall and the job that she actually had. Because walking out because of the whatever and however it took place concerning the finances, I'm sure she wanted her money, and that's, you know, she have a right to want her money. It was just the way to go about it that she didn't have the knowledge at that time. And to hear you, and I don't know if she came back and told you that her husband said the same thing.
She came back and told me and talked to me, you know.
Guess what,
Pastor Waller?
Yes, sir.
About 30 minutes or an hour after she talked to me, her money was on that card. See, because if you got a bank account, your money can go straight to the bank account. You know, and her money was. See, now what if she had a turned around and walked out at 10:30, and her money on the card at 11:30? What type of message did you send them? You know, walking out like that, you quit. You know,
sometimes
you have to be patient.
Sorry for the interruption. We have another caller on the line. Caller with the last four digits, 4639.
Okay. Well, welcome to Talk Straight. Do you have any questions or comments?
No, it's Professor Robertson. I'm listening.
Okay.
Hello,
well,
gentlemen.
We're looking forward to hear from you. And we are talking about those gifts and the things that's going on, and I think Outkaz has a great opportunity. You know, he has something probably that he would like to ask you or just to recall about some of the things that you have been saying, Professor. And again, we are glad that you're here on behalf of Pastor Dockery, and I'm sitting there for him. And, you know, in his travel, he's doing, I'm sure, some work, as he always do, and he's a busy man, but thank God that you get a chance to call me. After Outkaz continues to say what he said, we're going to ask you to talk to us about what you think about the gift that young people have that don't even recognize that they have a gift. They probably have a hunger, you know, to do something right, but just don't have the knowledge that they do have gifts that's already instilled in them. Outcast was talking about the young lady on a job that was about to walk out because of her pay or wasn't there. She's working a job. She's doing her thing, but all of a sudden her money's not there, and so she's losing it. And Outcast had an opportunity to talk with her and ask her not to walk off like that. And an hour later, her money was on her cart. However, she was in such a rage at that time, she was unable to give it another maybe minute or so. There's a song that says you must have made your move too soon, and Outkast stopped her from doing that. So I want him to just share with you how important that one person was that he done that with. Outkast, if you will. Professor's on the line here.
But and I did mention the professor. I'm glad he did call in, because you know I listened to him, and it's one, you know, and there's a lot of things that he state, even when it come to people learning, a lot of them are afraid, you know, and this is something that you got to get past that, you know. I want to listen to the professor and see what, you know, what's his comment.
Right. Well,
As it relates to the gift, I'm gonna use a different word if I can. And the way that I approach life is, I believe that every single child is successful every day. Every single child is smart. It's how we nurture that child.
Mm-hmm.
They have
okay.
all of the skills that they need, all of the talents that they need. It's how we nurture that child. And
right.
Pastor Dockery talked about it last week when he talked about the two seeds in the wall and lacking sunshine and water and tilling and so on. One seed
mm-hmm.
gets to flourish, the other one doesn't. And
right.
so, but at the end of the day, both of those seeds have the same potential. It's the fact that there's a wall, a barrier, that's preventing one from receiving the same level of nurturing that the other one is receiving.
Okay. I got you. I'm hearing that. And is it related to something, for instance, like there's two houses being built, one is built on the rock and the other is built on the sand, and, you know, they both look alike.
Yeah.
They both
yes.
have. Okay, and I think that's what Outkast was saying. I think he can utilize what you just said concerning his ignorance, if you will, because that's what he said to me, in another word, according to 7 times 8. At one point, he would say he was ashamed that he didn't know.
Mm-hmm.
Is that something accurate, Outkast, that you said you was ashamed that you didn't know that back then? And now that you can relate to those... You know, it's a lot of people that's young that want to change their life, but they're ashamed of what they don't know. So how do we reach them? How and what do we do to get those people in the multitude, in the arena of multitudes of them to come together and realize? Because they'll join together and do the insanity, a lot of them will. And I said earlier, thank God for those who are doing the things that you talk about, Professor, you know, doing things that's opening for information, you know, willing to learn more and become productive members of society. But what about those that we can say, I'm sure that we'll find them in every city. How do we get out there where they are and offer it to them and have them to become willing? How do you catch those people by way of fishing for men, you know, that's out there? Just like what Outkast said, ashamed, don't know what 7 times 8 is, and, you know, but we'd be willing to learn if somebody was able to catch them on the rear. Talk to us, Professor.
And great question. And I want to go back to you. We need to understand that people, individuals, young, old, that it's taken them a while to get to where they are. And
okay.
it's something, it's not going to miraculously happen overnight that they're going to change. If you're 20 years old, there's been a lot that has happened over those 20 years. and I'm not going to change it overnight. It's going to take some time. But one of the first things is to help that person understand that they possess the skills and start to help them to build themselves up to understand their capabilities. And that's why I say everybody is successful. We do a disservice when we tell kids that they can't. And here's a great example. Well, when that child is born and when that child is young, we tell that child that you can accomplish anything you want to in the world, correct?
Okay, correct.
And then years later, we start to tell them, no, you can't do this, no, you can't do that. The man is going to do this.
God.
The system's going to do that. And so we are tearing them down. We promise them the moon, and then we start to tell them, nah, you can't get there because you're this, you're this, you're that. You don't have this, you don't have that, and all these other things are going to get in the way. And so let's change our dialogue. Let's change the way that we see things. And let's start to focus on some of their successes, some of the things that they do well, and the tools and the skills that they use in order to make it happen.
My goodness, that's good. I like that. That's good. That makes a lot of
you
sense.
You were talking about basketball, Pastor Waller.
Yes.
And you know, Professor, he used basketball for an example, but you long had dropped that gift. Now, going back to what the professor stated, yes, when I was 20, but as stated, when I prayed to God, and I gave in, and basically I hit those books,
amazing.
In a whole lot of senses, I taught myself everything, clean up to algebra, geometry, calculus, the whole nine yards. I taught myself. I didn't learn in school. Even in college, whatever, my grades, mathematical grades, A's, but going back to what the professor said, it don't happen overnight. It's a slow process, but you have to stay focused and be serious about what you were doing. I asked God to lead me, and he led me, and he's still leading me today. Thank you, Professor, for that, and I agree.
Yeah, that's beautiful. That's beautiful. And I think you're making sure that you say you're keeping them first even today. So that's a practice of yours now, and that's how you exercise your gift. And so I'm understanding very well what Professor is saying about keep that same intensity according to what you present to them from the start about the skills that they have, and you have the potential. You know you can do this, and don't come back later on and confuse them, because that's what I
heard.
Right,
you know, like the thing is, I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm. No, go ahead.
I tell a person like this, I said, look, even my kids, I tell anybody, look, the only someone that can defeat you and hold you back is yourself. Never say you can't, because you can, going back on what the professor said. See, and a lot of people, I've taught people, and they say, I can't. I say, yes, you can. Take your time, practice, and I hope.
Okay. And see, this is beautiful, man. Go ahead, Professor.
Well, one of the things I try to stress when I speak to folks is that everybody does this every day. And so to think about this, if we stop calling kids at risk, let's stop, stop, because every human being is at risk.
Okay,
every single human being is at risk. We're just at risk for different things.
Right. Okay.
If you live in the suburbs where I live, you got to talk to your kids about the pills in cabinet, because that's one of the things that they're doing. If you live over here, you might have to talk about crack, or over here you might have to talk about meth. But at the end of the day, they're still kids, and they're all at risk.
Yeah. Yeah, makes sense.
And so let's look at the words that we use, and let's stop filling our kids' heads with negatives, because they're getting it from enough places already. We need to start, at home, and start to fill their heads with positive things. and help them to understand that. Here's a great example. I love this. I use it with my students. If you brush your teeth, you can run a successful business. If you know how to brush your teeth, you can run a successful business. I guarantee you.
So if you're saying that person can be a doer of what it is that they just performed.
If you follow the steps involved in brushing your teeth and the skills that you use to brush your teeth, they're the exact same skills that you use in order to run a successful business.
So you saying
the
that
skills,
a star, go ahead, Pastor. Go ahead, Professor.
No. If you break it down, when you brush your teeth, how do you know how to brush your teeth? Just think about that. And I know nobody's ever asked you that question, but how do you know how to brush your teeth?
Okay. Would you still say
why
that?
Why do you brush?
But you say that was a learning to that? Would you say still that was a learning to that as you was being trained in what to do? Someone told you this and how to go about doing that?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So it's being teachable.
Why do you continue to brush your teeth?
Okay.
And so you continue to brush your teeth, so there's something motivating you there.
And I guarantee you.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead. You're saying that you have got it now. You know what to do now. And you're saying you can perfect that once you get out into the world and realize you can run a business. And you have to know how to, first of all, be teachable. And once you learn how to do it, you say, at that point, you should be able to perform it. Are you saying that you can carry it out at that point? Or is it that easy? Is it just that simple? Or what is it that you say that would make them be able to carry that out?
It is that easy. It is that simple. But it's helping them to connect the dots and to remove the complexity that is intentionally there as a barrier to people exploring these opportunities. And these barriers are there intentionally. And so I guarantee you that the tools that you use today to brush your teeth are different than the tools that you used 20 years ago, 10 years ago. I guarantee you. And you have a vision that drives, and you have goals that says, you know, I'm going to brush my teeth twice a day. You establish these goals. I'm going to floss. You establish goals with your business. You create a vision for your business. You put a strategy in place, a strategic planning in place, and you act upon it.
Okay.
These are the same exact skills. You measure, so you go to the dentist to get feedback. You get feedback from others with your business. Exact same skills.
So there are skills that's instilled in the young people that's there. That's basically saying that we was talking earlier before you came on. We were talking about the amount of kids, of young people who are, as I myself would admit, in my ignorance, not knowing that I have a gift, and I say you can have more than one, but I have a gift in me, but I just don't know. And it's not that I don't care or I don't want to know I have a gift. It's just that we're having fun, so I don't even look at nothing that I'm doing as this is a gift. So what happened to me? Was I stripped, or was I not trained, or was I just uneducated and just didn't know? Could it be those two houses that I'm talking about? We had the same opportunity, but yet still I decided that I'm going to go another route. I mean, you did something positive, you made something out of your life, and I just went another route. Is it because of the power of what I've seen or what I heard and how it affected me? Could that be the reason? Because those two houses look alike, but one of them was stronger than the other. And let me say this, because we're getting ready to come to the top of the hour and we have to play another song, and we can come back and you can answer that question, because I like to have someone to talk to me concerning that, because a lot of that is going on. I know a guy that I went to school with. I mean, very intelligent. I mean, this guy was very smart, man. I mean, come from a family that was very smart. And me being down in the school, in high school, and the guidance counselor, the teacher, she told my friend, asked him a question, why do you hang around with him? And, you know, it was amazing. So after you give us a minute to listen to this song, I'm going to come back and let you say something about that, and then I'll finish what I had to say about my friend in high school with me. And he came back and told me what the guidance counselor said about me right after this song.
Sounds good.
Aiden,
all right.
Glory to God. Yeah, we'll be planning in just a moment here. Yeah, great conversation that we're having. And praise God for you, Brother Outcast and Professor, and trusting that those who are listening are being able to get something out of it. And you can also call number 657-383-0944. We would love to have your questions or comments.
Praise the Lord. God, good thing. All the time, and all the time God is.
Hey, they call me Poop. I'm from these streets. Somehow, I live to see my 18th birthday. I managed to graduate from juvenile detention to adult prison. People try to tell me I should grow up and be a man. But I'm the best man I know. Somebody asked where I see myself 10 years. Man, I'm just trying to survive these streets day by day.
BFC Institute needs your help to reach the Pookies across America. Please support our traveling educational lecture series addressing perceived threats to African American males. To learn more, please visit us at bfcinstitute.com. That is bfcinstitute.com. Simply click the red sticker for details.
Welcome back to Talk Straight. We have been talking to these brothers. I mean, they have brought forth some great information, Brother Outcast and Professor. And for those of you who are listening, we thank God for you as well. I like the song when it says, "Order my steps in your word." I mean, it's amazing if the young people was able to get with that. But just so happened, we have many of them that don't even know. We talked about kids over in different areas. And they all have skills, and they all have gifts. And we just want to elaborate on a couple of things before I turn it back over to the professor. I was sharing, Brother Outcast, about some of the things that happened. It was a true story about me when I was in high school. You know, my friend and I, we went to junior high school together. Actually, we played ball before we even went to junior high school. And we was all right. And, man, this guy come from a family. And as I said, his brother went on to college. His sister went on to college. They graduated. They were smart. His mother was smart and everything. And, you know, when you have friends in the neighborhood, man, and it has nothing to do with how smart or dumb you are. When you're friends, you're all right, and it's just the way it is. And, you know, it wasn't that I lured him in with the intent to say, man, you got to do what I do or I'm going to do what you do. But what happened was when we got in high school, and I had a tendency, you know, I had a little money out, Cass, and because I was caught up into the street life. And so, you know, I got this white school, and, you know, I dressed a lot, and I had nice things a lot, you know. And the goddess counselor could see this. And one day she pulled my friend to the side and asked him, "Why do you hang around with him?" And he came home and told me because, you know, that's my friend. Make a long story short, you know, when he discovered some of the things I was doing, and I must admit that, you know, he did more of what I was doing than I would do what he was doing. And I didn't do no whole lot of work in school and everything. I was a great basketball player and all that. And so, Outcast, he just took it upon himself. Well, he can play too. I'm not going to do all this work. He's not going to do it either. So I'm just saying all this to say, we went as far as high school, as far as we went. Did I do him wrong? Did I mislead him intentionally? Or, I mean, what was going on? Because going back to professor about these two houses, you know, we both was kids. We both had a friend in one another. Just so happened, we both went no further than high school. He was very smart. I could have been if I had studied, you know, but I just refused to because of what I was doing. And so tell me, was I wrong? You know, and was he wrong for following me? Was he wrong for being my friend?
I let the professor answer that.
Yes, sir. Professor, was he wrong for being my friend?
No, he wasn't wrong for being your friend.
Uh-huh.
The question is more, you know, who did you have in your life? Who did he have in his life to help him, to help you just change your focus a little bit? Because I want to challenge one of the things that you use the word smart and dumb, and I don't understand those words, because in my world, everybody's smart. You know more about something than I do. I know more about something than you do. The question really comes down to, based on, you know, where you are not, where you're knowledgeable, how marketable is that in this marketplace versus another marketplace? Because we're all smart, and we have to change the words that we use, because words are very, very powerful.
Yeah, but what about the guidance counselor? What about this guidance counselor, though? What was she saying? Did she say we were so smart? Or did she say, I don't care. What was she saying?
Well, I tell you, you know, I mean, just listening to you, you know, I'll answer you. I will answer you.
Ahead,
you looked at the way that you dressed. The way you dressed. You dressed nicely. Like you stated, you know, you had money. You know, because she was doing what she was doing, and she was looking at that, and she basically felt that you were doing something illegal, and you were going to lead him down another road. But I'm gonna go along with the professor on this. Words are powerful. I was told this many, many years ago. Smart. They said smart people invent things. Intelligent people. It goes into books and things of that nature, you know. Words are powerful. Now, when the professor stated that, it brought me back to that. Yeah, a lot of times we do have to be careful with words, because they are powerful. But I learned this from a professor. Even a junkie. You turn nobody away. Everybody needs everybody.
Right. Oh,
yeah. Everybody needs everybody. I was also told that you got a computer, you know. White man invented or whatever. Use that. Tear it down. Rebuild it. Learn how it works. Things of that nature. And I hope a professor is right, but smart and intelligent. Two different sections. I was told smart people invent things. Intelligent people, you know, they are educated. But a person can also be, going back to what Professor said, he can be intelligent in different areas. You can take a guy that can't read a blueprint, but yet and still, he can build a house ground up. And I hope.
Yes.
And I agree with you.
Yes. Yes. That's a good point. Very, very good point. And so, Professor, my question is now is that, was my mind blind with my eyes wide open? You know, what was going on with that guy, man? What was happening with him?
It's called, I love to simplify things. It's called marketing.
Okay.
And it's, what were the marketing messages that you were being fed from the time that you were born, and what type of nurturing was occurring within your environment that helped to shape who you were and who you are?
That's a good question.
And
I like
so,
that.
And so when you're bombarded with messaging that says that you are, you know, you're going to be a hoe, then the vast majority of people, if you tell them they're going to be a hoe and you provide the environment that drives them towards that conclusion, the vast majority of them are going to be hoes.
Yeah, okay. That's
just
a good point.
That's just how, but if you create a different environment where you set different expectations and you create a culture where the community promotes that culture, and you're going to get different outcomes. And so for me, it's a real simple thing, and I like to keep it simple, because otherwise I can't get anything done because it's too complex. And for me, it's priority and focus. What is our priority?
So you say promote?
And priority and focus.
Professor, you were saying something about promoting something in particular, something positive,
well,
right?
Well, yeah, it's whatever the community says is important.
Yeah.
It's whatever the culture
like
says
that.
Is important.
Yeah, we need to promote
and now,
yeah. Right? So, okay,
yes.
But let me be honest with what's happening here, Professor, and I like that what you said. So just picture us promoting positive things in our community, and it starts to just flourish and it's overflowing, I mean, the community with that. That would be beautiful. I'm sure both of you would agree with that. However,
yes,
what's being promoted in a lot of areas right now is more powerful than one can even imagine to the young people that's eager to do and try things. See, that's what's happening with most people that's eager to try things, just like that guy was. He was eager to try what looked like was fun. And that's how he was lured into it, not because I wanted to or anything like that. So I hear you saying we need what we need. And in order for it to work, we got to make sure that it happens. And that's what I like about the conversation here, is that if we promote more positive things in our community, the chances are these people who are out there right now would have an opportunity. See, right now it's not being promoted. So I like that. That means that we have work to do, and it can be done. All we need is the order of our steps, being able to have that available. You see, now, if it's not available, I mean, what do you do, Outcast? It's not available. So now what we need to do is make sure that it's what? Available. I like that. That's saying something right there, Professor. So that's good. Go ahead.
But
okay.
I'm going to go back to what the professor said.
Mm-hmm.
Keeping it simple, you know, not complicating things, you know, which Occam's razor said, it's a kiss, KISS, keep it simple, stupid. If you keep things simple and not complex, like the professor said, everything will go smoothly. If it's not broke, don't fix it. Again,
right.
Occam's razor. Keep it simple, stupid. I mean, it sounds hard, but the truth don't always sound pretty. Look up Occam's razor. Going back to the professor. Keep it simple, stupid. Thank you, Professor.
Yeah.
You're welcome.
Yeah. Well, that's something that's going on right now, man. I like that phrase, that, you know, and the phrase you put in there, because if you can't keep it simple, stupid, now listen to the power of what one may think about the stupid part, okay? Who you calling stupid?
Keep it simple. I mean, he's a professor, and he knows all the professors, they don't like to complicate things, because when you complicate things, you begin to confuse people, and you become confused yourself. But if you keep it simple and logical, everything would run smoothly. So take off and keep it simple, stupid. Yes. Yeah, I'm sorry.
If I could give an example of what I think is simple, I mentioned that the Urban League, they have their State of Black America report that they publish every year, and it measures five different key indicators to show how Black Americans are performing compared to white Americans. And four of the five indicators are negative. One indicator is positive. Which indicators do you think they talk about? The positive or the negative?
You said it was four out of five?
There are four
they
negative and one
negative.
Positive.
Uh-huh.
They
four
talk
negative,
about the negative.
Okay. Sure.
What if we changed our focus and said, well, let's look at the positive, figure out the things that we did that resulted in it being a positive that shows that we are outperforming, we are better than over here. Why don't we focus on that and figure out what are we doing that's making that happen? And then use those same skills and lessons and apply it in the other areas.
Right.
That makes sense all the way around. That makes sense, Professor. But then here comes Outcast. What I'm hearing him say is some of the things that you have to also look at. You know, when you get out to making it known, and he and I go back to what he said earlier, you cannot deny that. But there's a lot of people that would love to learn and find out what 7 times 8 really equals. I mean, I would just like to believe
all
that.
Day long, but 20 I couldn't tell you.
Yeah.
A lot of things I couldn't tell you because I was in the trap. But when I got out of the trap, I run the gauntlet.
Yes, sir. He became a teacher. He became a road of wisdom, you know, in effect, to the brothers, man. You know, so what I'm saying now is what we have to also not neglect or to forget, that there's a lot of people has that same heart of what outcasts have, is what I want to talk about just for this last few minutes that we have. And talk to me about this now. Remember, he said that. He said that. He did not know what it was, but now he do. So he had a hunger even within him that he probably didn't even know at that time. But once he discovered it, now he lives it every day. So I want to picture a group of people that don't know any better but have a heart to learn. This is who we need to get. If you said if it's not broke, don't try to fix it. But it is broke. So what should we do now that we know that it's broke? Talk to me.
See,
what do we do?
In reality, it's really not broken. Just reach the people. Bring them to you like the professor saying, like you're saying. It's not broken. It's fixed.
Okay.
But it just need to be turned on.
Yes, okay,
you know,
that's okay.
You know,
and
like
pointed,
a radio,
and
it's not broken.
In a different,
you know, like the
direction.
Professor keeps saying, you know, like, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Okay, just pointed in a different direction.
Okay.
Right.
Okay, well, that's change. That's called change right there. I would consider that being called change, which is a good thing. And I'm believing that we're getting somewhere here, you know, recognizing what we have to do with the tools that we do have. If we have something that was working, utilize what's working. And then not forget about what can work. In other words, you say, believe you can and you will, if we just believe we can. And then that's a positive way of flowing into what it is that one may quote call a broken home, a broken community, you know, and things like that. So just lead them in another direction. Is that what you're saying?
No. What I'm saying is, I go back to words again, and that's where we really need to start. you said if it's, you know, if you think you can, you will. And what I'm saying that we need to tell people and we need to help people to understand is that they are already doing these things. They're already using these skills. It isn't a matter of can and will. They are already doing it. That they have the tools and they're using the tools already. It's a completely different conversation, and so it takes. We need to understand and we need to believe and make it a part of who we are. That when we see these people, we understand that they have the skills. They have desires and passion and vision and goal setting. They have mentors. Mm-hmm. They have all of those things. They're just pointed in a direction that we feel leads to negative outcomes. We know leads to negative outcomes, and we want to point them in a different direction.
Right.
Use the same tools and skills, but expose them to different resources, expose them to different opportunities, to different challenges.
Okay, use the same tools and skills, correct? Now, I still like to ask this question. Do you not consider that as being a gift that they have? Because, you know, this is what we started out with. If you will, I'm going to say this again. We started out with stir up the gift. Okay, so in other words, if it's stuck, you just need to stir it up. It's not like me. Okay, that's a gift. They're already doing it. They already have it. Send them into another direction.
And that's good. This is marketing, this is about messaging, and there are people that you are going to reach using that term. There are some that, you know, others will reach using a different term. I think it is wonderful. I think it's great. But at the end of the day, the underlying piece here is they are talented, they're skilled, they're smart. We just have to help them find a reason to point their energies, their focus in a different direction.
Yeah, I can get with that. I can get with that. I can get with all
that. We've been on that, Mm-hmm. We all agree on that.
Yeah, I can get with that. That's, we're in agreement with that. As long as we know that they're heading in another direction, utilizing the same skill, the tactics that they do have, and realize how wonderful of a gift that could be. Not someone just gave you a wrapped-up gift. This is something that's instilled in a person that's already there, just needs stirring up. I know the time is winding down, man. We had a great conversation, and we trust that everyone that's tuned in, that's been listening, have gotten something so far that they can run and tell some of the young brothers that there's still hope, and all they have to do is head in another direction and utilize what they have that they're already performing, but just in another arena. Glory to God. We thank you, Outcast, brother, and brother, I tell you, it's been a great conversation, and Professor, you all have been a blessing to me, man. I want to thank Pastor Dockery for allowing me to sit in for him as a co-host, and I know that he's doing all right wherever he is. And again, just in case, you know, you didn't get anything out of this session, we will be back again. And I tell you, on Thursday, just tune in, and Pastor Dockery should be back, and we will further the conversation. But I'm going to give you and Pastor Dockery got to give him his props because he deserves it. This man has so much confidence in believing in a person, he would take a chance on going somewhere and leave one in a position to have a talk. And I want to thank him for allowing me to do so. Before we leave, though, I want to thank again Outcast and Professor, man. I want you all to have something to say, talk to us for about a minute and a half, and then we'll be ready to get out of here. Outcast, go ahead. You start out.
Well, you know, all I can say is when the professor is talking, you know, he brings stuff out of me, you know, stuff just sometimes been sitting back for a long time. I enjoy his comments, and I do appreciate him calling in, and I do understand what he's saying. What he's saying is true, and I just leave with Occam's razor, you know, if it ain't broke, don't fix it, and keep it simple, stupid. But sometimes you just got to stir it up like a radio or whatever. You got to turn things on, and I hope and give it to the folks.
Praise God. Praise God. We give way to you, Professor. We thank Brother Outcast for what he had to say.
I truly, you know, I thank you, gentlemen. I enjoy the conversation. I love the fact that I'm learning and gaining knowledge, and hopefully I'm imparting some. And one of the things that I am passionate about and that I'm working on diligently is to help impact a lot of lives so that we can start to change direction. And for me, keeping it simple helps me to focus on the things that we can do and that we are doing and that we will do more of in order to impact more lives and change the trajectory. So I thank you and looking forward to doing a lot together.
Praise God. Outstanding, man. It's been wonderful. I tell you, been listening to Talk Straight. I say we have had a joy in having the conversation, and the dialogue has been great. We thank everyone again who is listening, and we trust that maybe you will be able to, on the next time, call in, and we would love to hear what you have to say concerning what we have been talking about. It's been all on one accord tonight. I know that, and I know that that's the power of togetherness. And when we are in strive like that, you know, it makes everything go smoothly. There is a word that talks about let brotherly love continue. See, once you take gifts and you stir them up and you realize the skills that comes from that, and I heard earlier said, if it's not broke, don't try to fix it. But just in case it happened to be that way, we have to do all that we can to fix it and make everything point in the right direction. So that's a beautiful thing. Until we meet again, you have been listening to Talk Straight. We will leave and expect you the next time. Praise God. Amen. we usually play a song, but we thank God for the moment that we have left.